Most of us, well, maybe I'm presuming farther than I should, are familiar with a kaleidoscope. Remember that cylindrical toy with a small hole at one end and beads and maybe pebbles, mirrors at the other? And when you held it up to the light, remember what happened? When you turned it, a multitude of colors just beautifully arrayed before our eyes. Some of us are familiar with Joel Beakey. Joel Beakey speaks about the book of 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 John, as a kaleidoscope. John describes as a kaleidoscope the loving God, the loving of one another, the new birth, assurance, and obedience, all looked at through the lenses of faith in Christ Jesus. Let's see what he means as we listen to what he has to say to us in these first five verses of the fifth chapter of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 1 through 5. And because we're thinking kaleidoscopically, let's read this in unison, if we may. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's look to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we've just heard from you about the faith that overcomes the world. And we want, Lord, to understand that in the way that we're encouraged. Because as we leave this place this evening and go home and enjoy the rest of the day and sleep and awaken tomorrow, that we will be out in the world. And we want to live lives that demonstrate that we are able to overcome the world. So help us to that end, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We who are born from above believe that Jesus is the Christ, so that our lives are hidden in Christ Jesus, who overcame the world. Therefore, we overcome the world. As I read these five verses of this fifth chapter of John and think about victorious faith, I think of the years growing up that I spent on the Jersey Shore at Stone Harbor. And one of the things that I enjoyed doing there was body surfing. Now, if you're unfamiliar with body surfing, It's when you ride a wave without a surfboard, your body acts as a surfboard. And theoretically, you're out into the ocean, and you're at least with the water chest high, whether you're standing on the bottom, on the floor of the ocean, or you're treading water. You're watching waves as they swell, and you're looking for that wave that begins to show that it's going to crest. Not one that just goes like that, and you want to get to the place where you're on the pinnacle of that wave just as it's about to break. So that when it breaks right across your shoulder blades. And you're able to have your hands at your side and your head up and face out, and it breaks. And you ride that wave looking ahead at all the people. And then if you're really fortunate, there's a second wave. And when that second wave breaks, you take a deep breath and you throw your arms out ahead of you. You tuck your chin down so that you're becoming like the bow of a boat. And that wave takes you till your belly scrapes the sand at the shore. And I'm suggesting that these five verses are like riding a wave, a double wave. That the first three verses are what I would call faith saving. And the second two, the last two verses are what I'm calling faith victorious. So as you think of yourself riding that wave, the first three verses, you're riding that wave with your head out and you're understanding what it is to have faith that saves, saving faith. And there are three things that those three verses tell us about saving faith that are very important for us. They tell us the object of faith that saves. And they tell us the origin of faith that saves. And they tell us the obviousness of faith that saves. First, then, the object. It's right there, isn't it? Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is where John begins to describe faith saving. You see, it's not enough to ask a person, do you believe? Because every human being has faith. And every human being exercises a life of faith. When you wake up in the morning and you put your foot and feet to the floor and you stand up, you believe that by doing that, you will be able to stand up. Now let me ask you this. Is it your faith that enables you to stand up? Or is it gravity that enables your feet to go to the floor and you get up? You see, faith in faith is useless. It's called easy believism. Faith must be in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must profess belief in Jesus as our Lord. We accept the truth that is taught about Jesus in the gospel. John recorded the words of Jesus' high priestly prayer in chapter 17 of his gospel. In the third verse of that 17th chapter, Jesus prays, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." The object of our faith is not our faith. The object of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the only true God. Just because you're able to tell me many things about someone doesn't mean you know that person, does it? When we know someone, we have a deep personal relationship with that person. And that's what we have when our faith is placed in the object, Jesus Christ. But from where does that faith come? What is the origin of that faith? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, we read, is what? Born of God. Is born of God. You see, those who truly believe Jesus is the Christ have been born from above. The Holy Spirit wrote this, didn't he, through John back in his gospel in chapter 1 and verses 12 and 13. What does he say? "But as many who received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born," and here it is, "not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." You see, the faith that we enjoy that reaches out and takes hold of Jesus Christ is not something that is innate within us. All people have faith. But faith which is saving is a gift from God. And one of the things that has warmed the cockles of my heart is having an opportunity to speak with a dear saint who just turned 100 years old a few days ago, who for the number of years that she was worshiping with us week by week by week, driving her convertible from a place down near Pittsburgh to Beaver Falls, she would constantly be asking me, "How can I know if I'm saved? 95, 96, 97, 98, 99 years old, how can I know? I've done some horrible things in my life." And the Holy Spirit gave her Ephesians 1, 8 and 9. Isn't that the verse that says that the faith that we have that believes unto salvation is a gift? "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's the gift of God. Is it 289? 289. Boy, the topical memory system's slipping. I need to be Chinese. I memorize better. Yeah. And she finally got it. I believe in Jesus, God's gift of faith. I must be saved. You see how important it is as you're riding that wave with your head out to know that God is the one who gave you the faith. And, of course, in John chapter 3 and verse 3, most assuredly I say to you, unless you one is born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so you go down to verse 8. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And again, drawing on Dr. Beakey, he uses the illustration which I find helpful in showing what happens when we fail to recognize the origin of faith. He speaks of a person being encouraged to go from point A to B driving a car. And one must have faith that when the key is turned in the ignition, the car will start, and once the car is put in gear, the car will indeed take you from point A to point B. And too often we're told you need to take the faith you have and use it to believe in God's promises. That is not faith saving. That is an assumption based on the probability that the car will start and successfully run you from point A to point B because it has done so in the past. Faith that saves is planted in our heart by the operation of the Holy Spirit so that we may believe Jesus is the Christ. You see, a dead person isn't able to breathe. A dead person isn't able to receive. A dead person isn't able to believe. So we stand in a graveyard, if you please, and we say to those who are entombed, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. When the Holy Spirit goes into that grave, rejuvenates that dead person, and resurrects them so they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The origin of our salvation is in the resurrecting work of the Holy Spirit to take the heart of stone with which we're born out of us and give us the heart of flesh so that we hear, not born of the flesh, nor of the will of the man, nor of the will of the flesh, but of God. So John tells us faith saving as a definite object, a specific origin, and then he says, faith saving becomes obvious. I have to find a word that begins with O, right? To keep the alliteration. And so, obviously, in looking for a word that begins with O, I come up with obvious. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. You see, it's not enough to say, I believe Jesus is the Christ because I am born again and be a Christian. Being a Christian becomes obvious by our fruit. We're to bear fruit. How else will we know if God wants us to marry in the faith, to know if someone truly believes in Jesus Christ, if they don't bear fruit by loving God, loving His children? And how do we love God, and how do we love His children? Well, there's another O word, isn't there? We obey. And what is it that we obey? Well, we obey His commandments. But John doesn't stop there, does he? John adds that incredible phrase at the end of verse 3. What does he say? Look again at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. Let's read in unison the last sentence in verse 3. And His commandments are not burdensome. And His commandments are not burdensome. And His commandments are not burdensome. Did you get that? What is your attitude toward having no other gods, worship as I want to be worshipped, talk about me as I want to be talked about, keep this day in a way that I would have you keep it, remembering the resurrection that you enjoy as the Exodus is set before us, and the fact that I rested on the seventh day, and honoring those in authority, not murdering, not committing adultery, not stealing, not bearing false witness, and not coveting. Not burdensome at all, right? You riding that wave? Have your head out? You see Jesus? You know you believe in Jesus? How you're enjoying keeping His commandments? Keeping His commandments. Keeping His commandments. What enables us to really keep His commandments when we're out in the world Monday through Saturday? Well, we need that second wave. Not a second blessing. That second wave that enables us to put our head down and tuck our chin with a deep breath and ride. And ride. And ride. Faith victorious. We feel the force of that second wave breaking along our shoulder blades. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Two more O words and we're finished. You know the first one, right? It's there repeatedly. Overcomes. Overcomes. Faith victorious overcomes the world. And often when we hear the word world, we think of that trilogy, the world, flesh, and the devil. I don't use the O word in my trilogy. It's really self, sin, and Satan. Another alliteration. But we need to think, when we think of the deeds of the flesh, of what the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 through 21. And I'm always challenged when I read through those deeds of the flesh, because every now and then, as I read through it, a different one pops up, pops up, pops up. And then he declares, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In Romans 8:7, we're told, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. But you see, we who have enjoyed that work of regeneration, who understand the object and the origin and the obviousness of our faith, we understand that we are overcomers, not because of who we were, because when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, when we were dead in our carnal mindedness, we could not keep the commandments. Oh, but wait a minute. I wasn't known as a stealer. I wasn't known as an adulterer. I wasn't known as a disrespecter of my parents. Clearly, I kept the law. But why didn't I steal? I was afraid of the consequences. Why didn't I commit adultery? I was afraid of the consequences. Why did I obey my parents? Because I was afraid of the consequences. I knew what happened. And it was a burden. How many times did I want to steal? How many times did I steal? How many times did I want to commit adultery and do it at least mentally? But victorious faith, it's a faith that overcomes. But what is it that makes it difficult for us to be overcomers when we're out in the world? Are we reluctant to appropriate faith victorious because we don't like being disliked? Because we don't like being unpopular? Because we don't like standing out as obviously different than the rest of the crowd? We don't like the ring of John 15:19. If you were of the world would love you as its own. You are not of the world, but you are chosen out of the world. And therefore the world hates you. That hurts, doesn't it? However, when we stand for Jesus, we do risk being persecuted as he was persecuted. But which love do you really prefer? Do you prefer the love of the world? Or do you prefer the love of the triune God, who loved us so much that he sent his only son to die, to deliver us from the power of the world? the flesh and the devil. Paul writes in Romans 8:31-39, nothing will separate us from God's love. But listen to the last three verses. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything created shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise the Lord for so great a salvation. How about that for faith? Victorious, that overcomes. And listen again to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How important is it that we remember Jesus' admonition at the close of his address to the seven churches in the second and third chapters of Revelation. The one who overcomes. 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 To know that faith victorious, that gift of God, is victorious. We overcome because he overcame. And that takes us to the last O, the object again. Doesn't it? Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes Jesus is the Son of God. There in the end of the fourth verse, he says, our faith. That's what overcomes. But have you caught it? What is our faith? What is the gift of God to us unto our salvation? Jesus Christ. When we talk about our faith, we're talking about the person of Jesus Christ. He is our faith. You got it? He is our overcomer. And so that's why we're back to the object. It's not, I need to believe harder and I'll get victory. It means I need to see Jesus. He is our victory. He is the one who overcame the world. He is the one who withstood the temptations of the devil. He is the one who knows us better than we know ourselves. He's the one that knows what it is for us to be tempted. He's the one who knows our frailties and our weaknesses. He's the one who intercedes for us. He who overcomes the world. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We must hear afresh the words of Jesus recorded in John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Do you see it? We put our face down, we take a deep breath, and we ride Jesus all the way to the end. He begins the good work in us, and He completes the good work in us by going before us and giving us victory. Because He's the one in His Father who has ordained our days and the steps of our days. And He's the one who makes us more than conquerors through Him who conquered. Faith victorious is none other than our saving relationship with Jesus Christ. We who are born from above believe that Jesus is the Christ, so that our lives are hidden in Christ Jesus, who overcame the world. Therefore, we overcome the world. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for that ride of faith that we enjoy because of our union with Jesus. That as we face tribulation, troubles, trials, temptations, persecutions, ridicule in the world, we're more than conquerors because Your commandments are no longer burdensome to us. We don't keep them out of fear of punishment. We keep them out of deep gratitude and love for You who loved us while we were yet dead in our trespasses and sin, enmity with You, that we might be Your friends, that we might be Your children, that we would be the inheritance of Your Son. Oh, Father, thank You for so great a gift, Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.